Meow.
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 Meow. Meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Freedom fiends, we reconvene. Welcome. Broadcasting from Pod Bay to Gay, I am Mr. Derek J, here to inoculate you from indoctrination. Broadcasting live and worldwide from the Liberty Media capital of the world, Keene, New Hampshire. Here to help me warm your synapses this early morning is Chandler St. Pierre.
Too early.
Too early. Chandler,
it's 1 a.m.
Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
Yeah, I'm a government intervention this week. I'm pleased to report.
Good. Me too. Michael Dean can't be with us tonight. He was reinventing a snow-melting torch for consumer use. Also protected by the no-gov license. Rock on, Michael.
Yeah, as soon as that gets done, he needs to come up here and melt some snow.
Please. I'm sick of it. I'm sure everyone else is, too. Tonight, Chandler and I want to bring you worms. Talk about freedom, and occasionally remind you that Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Ew.
Ew. Tonight, the title of this episode, I think, should be Dunk Down Radio Redemption. And the reason for that is because a friend of the show and a fellow podcaster named Brian Mikan, who had Michael Dean, regular host of the show, on his program, has been raided by men with guns calling themselves the government. He was not as lucky as we, Chandler. He was contacted. And in not such a friendly way. So I've got an article about that, and I want to share that with the listening audience. But I don't want to focus on government. That's so square, man. Instead, we're going to move along to 10 differences children growing up in the 70s had versus today. And what happens to your digital life when you die? I've got a friend who recently died, and his digital life is all messed up thanks to his family. And, you know, what happens to all that? We've got the story from Pew Research, and Chandler's going to share that with us. But first, I want to know how you're holding up. The snow apocalypse continues. I think this is the most snowy, cold winter ever in my life than I've ever experienced it. You feel the same, Chandler?
Well, I wouldn't say in my life, but it's definitely the hardest winter that we've had in a while. I mean, I can remember growing up as a kid getting snow like this. We used to build like snow igloos on the sidewalk and stuff, you know. I think it's different when you're a kid too. Winter is actually fun because it means snow days. And you know, when you're an adult, if you have, and I do have snow days as an adult, and it kind of sucks because that means no pay today. So, but when you're a kid, you know, it's snow days. It's grabbing a sled and bombing down the hill. It's adventure. It's imagination. I can remember having, I grew up in Augusta on Sand Hill, which back then used to be all old French people and their grandkids. And, you know, all the neighborhood kids would get together and we'd have these massive snowball fights.
Is that like bleed over from French Canada?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you had pockets of Maine that were settled by French Canadians. And, you know, that lasted for quite a while.
Parlez-vous français?
Oh, not much. You know, it's funny, too, because I grew up in a French-Canadian culture, and I went to Catholic school, and I've been taking French since second grade, and I can barely speak or understand a word of it. Oh, it's just one of those things.
For shame.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you don't practice that stuff, it doesn't stick. So it's definitely, I think our perception, being an adult, winter means different things. It means buying snow tires. It means getting up a little earlier to go start your car and warm it up and hear it just groan and protest because, no, it's -2 out and I don't want to start up, you know. It's not so much the fun stuff. It can still be, you know. There's no reason you can't grab a sled and go out there and bomb down a hill as an adult, you know. It may take a little more getting up that hill when you're almost 40 as opposed to when you were 4 or 6, but hey, it's still worth it.
Have you done any fun things in the snow this year?
No.
Me neither.
I gotta say,
I've been completely fun-free. I've just been Mr. Miserable Grump. Ah, bah humbug, it's snowy again, still, forever. Yeah. I'm ready for it to be over, and maybe I should just adapt and change my attitude and be like, look, this is the reality. Go buy a sled and have some fun. Be a kid again. Why not?
It definitely does help, I think. I mean,
yeah,
the snow is actually really... really cool looking, like the past few storms we've
gotten. It's pretty.
You know, I wake up in the morning and I still get that little thrill of, ah, snow day. I can stay home, and I try to forget that means I don't get paid. I'm just like, I can stay home and watch the beautiful snow come down and cover the trees and everything. And, you know, it's not even snow that bothers me, although I will say, you know, I had to go out to my garage to grab my ladder because I decided to get up on my roof and shovel my roof off. And I was wading in snow up to my waist. It's piling up out there. I think we're kind of running out of room.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you touched on an important point, and I didn't reveal this to you pre-show, but I got in a car accident this week because of the piled up snow. Yeah. So, you know, what the government does, their solution for snow is we're going to remove this from our streets and we're just going to push it into huge piles everywhere. And so if you're in a normal car like mine at regular level, you cannot see over these 6-foot snowbanks. And so that's what I was trying to do, inch out into an intersection. Like, I stopped and then was trying to see, so I just had to, like, move up an inch, move up an inch, move up an inch. And when I did that, wham! I was hit in the side by a Jeep. It was going pretty fast. And anyway, car's in the shop, and thanks, government. I blame you. Because, you know, in other places, they've got private solutions. In Walmart, they've got a clear parking lot. They pile things up in safe places.
And they've got
sure.
these awesome snowbanks that if you're daring enough, you could grab a sled and climb to the top of and palm down.
You could, but they don't put them in the corners of turns. They don't put them in places where you're going to get blindsided. So anyway.
No, there's accountability there. They don't want to get held accountable for obstructing people's views and causing accidents.
So, by contrast, in New Hampshire, there are plenty of people, entrepreneurial folks, who, like, today, I was out shoveling my driveway, and a guy, I don't know, he in his 20s, came through with his truck and his plow, and was like, hey, can I help you out? You got that? And I was like, do you work for the government, or are you private? He's like, I'm private, and I was like, hey, you know, I don't need any help, thanks, I've got this. And he was like, well, I'll just still help you out a little bit. So he pushed a little bit of the snow around. It's like neighbors helping neighbors. I know, wasn't that great? I mean, I don't know this guy.
I had a guy, I've got a guy that plows my driveway, and he gives me a pretty good deal.
And, what's it cost?
It can cost anywhere from $20 to $40, depending.
But it saves a lot of time, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy that does mine, he does it for $25 a storm. And I've got a wide driveway. It's not overly long, but it's, you know, it's a good amount. And but I was out there shoveling one day because I didn't have the money. And I could have called him and he still would have come. But I was just like, you know, I'm just going to shovel a little path to get my car out for now. And I was out there shoveling, and the same thing. Some guy just, like, pulled up and plowed half my driveway. And, you know, I figured he was going to come out and be like, yeah, that'll be, you know, $10 or whatever, and he just drove off. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so this is why I feel justified. Accident, because, like, yeah, while I was inching out, and I can see why that on paper would be my fault, like, okay, my nose was out and got hit, but they created that situation where I would have been able to see just fine. It's their roads, it's their solution, and look at how all of these great people who can privately manage snow, when it's their responsibility, they do a good job, but government people are just like, I don't care.
I don't know if I've talked about the whole mail situation in the winter.
Mail? Like,
yeah.
Mail's here.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. So, like, I live
feel
on
so
this
bad for those guys. It's so pointless. They're like, rain or shine or sleet or, you know, volcanoes erupting.
Don't feel so bad yet. Wait till you hear this.
Okay.
Wait till you hear this.
It's so pointless because they're delivering is junk mail. Most of what they deliver, and they're suffering so badly.
It is funny because I hear a lot of people saying that, and I actually still get a lot of my, you know, bills and everything in paper. I don't like doing the online thing.
Well, plus, so. I'm that guy. I'm sending my grandmother a postcard. It's like, here, Granny, here's a 23-cent stamp that this man walked through the snow to go deliver to you. I mean, couldn't he? If this was private, it would be like, that's $5, sir. I'm not going out in that.
Yep. Well, I live on a, I don't know, long road or whatever. And the mail carriers just drive their little mail truck up. They don't, on my road, they don't get out. And my mailbox is right behind the sidewalk at the edge of my property.
Uh-oh.
So the deal is, right, I go and I have my driveway plowed and I just push the snow, you know, so it's out of the mailbox, in front of the mailbox or whatever. So I went like 2 weeks, didn't get any mail, went to the post office and was like, yo, what's up? You know, I haven't got any mail. And they're like, oh, snow hold. And I'm like,
huh?
Snow hold? Excuse me? And
there's this term we invented for you're not getting what you want.
Yeah, exactly. So the lady at the desk just could not be bothered. You know, she was like, ugh, I don't want to deal with it. But, you know, I politely asked to speak to her supervisor, and fortunately, her supervisor was a little bit better.
Worms.
So I'll tell you more about that after.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow. Meow with me, Chandler.
Meow.
Meow. Meow, 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 meow.
So, I'm gonna tie this story up really quick so we can move on to other interesting things.
Yeah.
So the gas station, I mean the post office attendant, I get them confused, you know, really didn't want to have anything to do with me. But when I spoke to the postmaster, she was actually really courteous and, you know, tried to resolve the problem, gave her my number. She spoke to the mail carrier. And basically, I had to have my plow guy plow, about 6 feet over from the mailbox, you know, make this big, wide, you know, swath of plowed snow, because these mail carriers just drive up to your mailbox, reach in and put your mail out and drive out, you know. And apparently you can't have snow there because they can't drive on snow. I don't know. It's very foolish. But the problem is that the cities normally plow those sidewalks with their funky driving snowblower things. And they haven't done that. And boy, when they come to plow that one, they're going to be in for it because that snowbank is about 5 feet high.
They'll have to use Michael's new torch.
Yes, they're going to have
but
to
they
mount
can't
it onto
because
the front.
It's a no-gov license torch.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to borrow it and torch that snowbank.
Good. All right. I'm going to reluctantly get through this article. I say reluctantly because I feel like it's important. Like, this guy, we sort of know him. Michael was on his podcast. I know him through Facebook. He's a real guy because he puts out YouTube videos explaining what's going on in his world of online poker. And he ran a couple of poker websites where people could go and gamble online with each other anywhere in the world. And they could do that thanks to Bitcoin. There was online poker before Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is like the money of the internet. So it just made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I would imagine that Bitcoin and online gambling sites would work really well together.
They do. Yeah, it was one of the first big things to take off. So anyway, this guy, Brian Mikan is his name. Brian with a Y. He was raided at gunpoint in front of his wife and toddler for the, quote, crime of competing with a casino. However, even though crime, the word crime, is in the headline of this article at freethoughtproject.com, he was not charged with a crime. And it's got up at the top my favorite quote from this, which he used in his YouTube video, quote, "Math does not bow to guns." So here we
That's awesome.
Yeah. From Las Vegas, Nevada. Friend of the Free Thought Project, professional poker player, chairman of the most popular Bitcoin poker website, Seals with Clubs, as well as the host of the Donk Down radio podcast, Brian Mikan, was raided at gunpoint on February 11th. The warrant was executed on behalf of the Nevada Gaming Commission while his wife and 2-year-old child were present in the home. And this is why I don't like to talk about this story, because, like, Fiends is the show that exists after the state, and this sort of thing just doesn't happen. Maybe it does happen in this, you know, absent the state. Like, maybe there would be private gangs of people like, we're taking your online poker thing, but I don't think so, because this is the Gaming Commission. They're like, we're in charge of games around here, son. You can't compete.
Mafia, the non-government mafia couldn't exist to do this to an individual. I mean, there's that classic scene from The Godfather 2, right, where Michael Corleone meets with the senator in his office.
Okay.
And he's talking about getting the licenses for the casinos, and the senator's like, I'll deal with you, you know, and because it serves my interest. And he's like, but let me tell you. And he just rips into him. And then Michael says, well, you can have my answer now. And, you know, it's nothing. I'm not going to give you nothing. And I expect the licenses and all that. And he knows that government has this monopoly to force all these people to abide by these rules, and if he just pays them off, you know, then he can get around them. But absent that government monopoly, these gangs wouldn't be able to work, and their threats would not be as effective.
Okay. So you are comparing this guy to Michael Corleone. I don't think he is
Oh,
that.
No, I'm not comparing Mikan to Corleone. I'm just saying that in Libpear, you know, you wouldn't have gangs that could do this to him.
Worms. Yeah, they wouldn't want to regulate gaming. They would want to compete and out-compete him. They wouldn't spend their time raiding his house because when they took his computers and stuff, it didn't
You're
work.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Meow. meow,
meow, meow,
meow,
meow,
meow,
meow,
meow,
meow,
meow,
meow, meow, meow,
meow,
meow, meow,
meow,
meow. Math does not bow to guns.
Word.
And neither do I. This is Freedom Fiends. We're talking about a man who ran a website where people could play games for money and win internet money called Bitcoin. And men with guns calling themselves the Nevada Gaming Commission tried to put a stop to it with their guns, but that didn't really work. And I was just laughing about that because, as Chandler pointed out, mafias and, you know, I don't know what other groups would do this, but people who try and strong arm others into actions that they don't consent to wouldn't want to have a gaming commission. Like, there, it wouldn't make any sense for them to control all the games in an area. It would be so much more worth their time to just compete on the market and provide a better service to their customers than whatever this Brian Mikan guy is providing. So I'm reading an article from the freethoughtproject.com, and I want to return to that because I was getting to the good part where we discovered that even though these guys had guns and bossed him around, he's still going to keep doing his online poker thing. They actually didn't take anything valuable because even though they tried to, they live in a digital age that they don't understand. They're still operating in the old world where you can take people's property and then you win. But as we're learning, math does not bow to guns. So here we go. Many had been wondering what was going on as management of Seals with Clubs was leaving and distancing themselves from the website. On Saturday, Brian recorded a 5-minute-long video from Antigua and posted it to his Twitter feed as well as on Reddit, explaining what him and his family have been going through for the past 10 days. Mikan's door was broken down. He was handcuffed at gunpoint and led out of his home in his underwear, while all of his electronics were seized. There was also an irregularity on the Seals with Clubs server hosted in Romania around the same time as the raid, despite the system thwarting hacking attempts in the past. Little information has currently been released regarding the breach, but all bitcoins on the site remain in place, and Mikan believes it still to be secure despite the incident.
So a statement on the website read, effective immediately, Seals with Clubs will cease providing Bitcoin poker and will be shutting down all operations except to allow player funds to be withdrawn for a limited period of time. Seals with Clubs is and has been completely solvent up to this point in its operations.
I want to stop you there, because if you were a customer, one of the, I assume, millions of customers who used this website for online gaming, maybe you even made a living off of online poker, and you're reading something different on the website that you're used to going to, and uh-oh, it's a full-text announcement saying you're stopping providing the service. What is going through your mind at that point?
I don't know. Probably dismay. I guess it would remind me of when you go to your favorite torrent sites and see that sort of text.
It happens all the time with torrent sites, but it's like, oh, I can't get the movie I want to watch. And it's this is like, to me, I'm saying, is my money okay? I mean, you put serious money on these poker sites, or maybe you just play with piddly cash here and there. But it's like, this is a website having to do with money. It would be like if I logged onto my bank account and it was like, hey, we're not doing our thing today. We're just gonna put up this full text announcement. Everything's fine, though. We're solvent. We promise. I'm like, really? Prove it. So anyway, that's just my initial thought. I think they're also pretty awesome for communicating. Like, they could have just put some image up being like, we don't know what's going on. Hang on. We'll figure it out. But they're sort of, they're giving the people all the information they've got, which, like, major cred.
Well, it's smart marketing, because if they're going to continue on another site and keep going with this business model, they don't want to leave people hanging and wondering.
Right.
So on approximately February 11th, 2015, several events occurred that related to the operational security that we consider to indicate Seals with Clubs now operates in a perpetual state of jeopardy. We will not divulge details publicly, but they may come to light if any team member chooses to come forward of their own volition at a later date. All player funds and data remain intact, and the issue was not software related. We do not believe any of our Bitcoin wallets used in operations to be compromised or lost. However, this event has made the majority vote of the ownership and team agree that shutting down operations is the best move for safety and security purposes.
Purposes. That is so scary.
It's a little vague, though.
Yeah. All of those words, I'm like hanging on the last word of every sentence, like perpetual state of jeopardy. Like, that's so scary that they would put that out there. But also, like, major cred for being open and honest about what's going on. Like, yeah, we just got raided. It's in a perpetual state of jeopardy. You need to know this as a customer. I don't see, like... Just to compare, this is an online poker site that's the Nevada Gaming Commission does not like. But then there are places like the banks. Like, but didn't Bank of America operate in a perpetual state of jeopardy during the crash of 2007 and 2008? They weren't open and honest about that with their customers. I mean, all of those banks that took bailout money, right? Like... They're
all in partnership with the government, so why would they be transparent?
Yeah, but they don't need to be. So I just think this is an awesome example of like what it looks like in a freer market where transparency.
When there's actually accountability,
yeah,
you have to have that sort of transparency and that honesty. Otherwise, you're not going to get your customers.
Right. So like this is how he's winning over customers and moving on with his new project. So Mycon stated that the officers were very familiar with his social feed and were aware of his 2-year-old child being present in the home. Mycon questioned why 10 men with guns would knock down his door, knowing that he was a reasonable person and had a toddler. He was reportedly provided with weak and nonsensical answers on why they wouldn't just call him or knock instead of performing a raid.
Well, it's all theater, you know. You've got to inspire that sense of fear and we're in charge sort of thing.
Maybe it was just an opportunity for boys to play with their guns. But I thought it was awesome that this guy, Brian Mycon, was like, why don't you just call me? Like, what a great question to ask these guys who are in the middle of a raid. Like, yeah, why didn't we just call him Joe? Like, hey, have you thought about this, Bill? Like, but yeah, maybe we should try the tactic of using the telephone next time. Like, don't normal companies do this? If you know, I realize that we're talking about the state here and they don't operate like normal companies. But when I have a problem with a bank or the store or like Amazon or something, I get an order wrong. Most places you can call them up like, oh, hey, I had this problem. We need to work this out over the phone first before we resort to knocking on doors with guns. I just think that's interesting.
Well, the state's tools are force and violence. So, you know, when the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah, but that's why it looks so strange when he asks these questions. Like, why didn't you call me? It's like, what kind of fantasy land world do you live in, Brian?
So there's a quote from him that says, I hope these agents felt that it was wrong to disturb a happy, peaceful home like that. But I fear it was just another Wednesday for them, and they were just lulzing before lunch.
Lulzing. The officers who conducted this raid know that Mycon is not a violent person because they follow his Twitter and Facebook feeds and watched his YouTube videos, and he was not charged with any violent crimes. I don't think he was charged with any crimes, in fact. He specifies on his
video,
YouTube channel.
He said,
yeah. There is not a single reason or excuse that could possibly validate the state holding this man at gunpoint in front of his family over a passion for poker and technology. The Nevada casinos, clearly afraid of a little competition, have not won, as Mikon has not been charged with any crime. He has started a new venture, SWC Poker. That's at swcpoker.eu. As in, I guess, what is that, European Union?
Yeah.
Away from the United States militarized police. Well, okay, going from one militarized police to another, is that really better going to Europe? I'm not so sure.
Well, I find it interesting, though, that he's going to a .eu site. I mean, I know it's not as embraced and mainstream, but I'm surprised he didn't go to a .bit site, you know, because .eu is still under ICANN and can still be seized and shut down.
Yeah. So, just to finish up here, it says that SWC Poker will honor all player loyalty points, or KRLL, earned at Seals with Clubs. That's cool. So, like, I did not use this website. Full disclosure, I never have. I don't play poker. I don't gamble at all.
Yeah, me neither.
But it sounds like, since he's moving from one website to another, players or people on this site, sort of like on eBay, how you have a user rating, like, oh, 100% or 99% satisfaction, and, you know, 1,000 transactions. How you have, you know, how you have that on eBay or any other website, reputation capital, basically. Well, yeah. There were loyalty points, or KRLL, which sound like reputation capital to me, on this website, and they're going to be honored at the new website, which is sweet. He's also removed his family from the country, citing that he does not want to raise his daughters in a place where creativity is stifled by men with guns. Well, good luck, Brian. I truly, sincerely mean that. I don't think you're going to find that anywhere, because the whole world has governments. But good luck with your new venture.
For now.
SWCPoker.eu. All right, we'll be back with 70s Kids.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Welcome back, Freedom Fiends. This is redemption in the third act. I lied when I said that we were going to talk about 70s kids. We will. That wasn't a total lie. It was just, we're not going to do it right
hour.
Now. Yeah, we're going to do it later. We're going to put a bit of a bookend on what we started here. Close this can of worms. Because I need to apologize to you, listeners. I talked about the government for the first hour of this program, and boy, am I sorry. But I won't do it again. That's it. No, the point is, the government's so silly because, look, they took his stuff, this Brian guy, and that's it. I mean, that's all they've got, is they've got his stuff. They haven't stolen his business. They haven't harmed him or his family. You know, everyone is still intact. They got to move away.
I think a big part of it is that fear and intimidation has a way of kind of dampening people's spirits, but it can't crush creativity. It can't stop the march of technology. We talk about that a lot, how these technologies, if embraced, especially by free-thinking individuals, will help promote liberty and help set us free. And despite all their threats, despite the force they displayed and the intimidation they tried to use on him, he's still going on with his dream. You know, he's rebranding the site. He's being open and honest and trying to get everyone back their Bitcoin so that they can come and use his new site.
Yeah, because this guy's got vision and integrity, which is something that these goons with guns don't have. I was making the point to Chandler over the break that this is not personal. Like, this isn't a gang war where it's like, oh, Jimmy took the thing, so we're going to take it back or whatever. Like, it's not, they're not on a first-name basis with any of these guys. They don't know who each other are. They're just doing their jobs, right?
They're all sellswords.
What's that? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, they're hired guns, right?
They're hired guns, yeah.
I like that term, sellswords.
I do, too.
Kind of sounds like the people in Aladdin, like Saudi Arabia style. I don't know.
Right. So, like, and from a business standpoint, think about what a waste of resources this was for the government to go and raid this guy, right? They displayed all this force and got their fancy toys out and threatened him. And yeah, they took his computers and stuff, but he moved and he's going to try and live freer somewhere else. And he's still going to have his online gaming site.
The biggest victory, I think, is that Bitcoin wins. Like, I don't think the government understands, or at least some parts of the government, so like this Nevada Gaming Commission, definitely doesn't understand Bitcoin, because you can just make a copy of all of the data, right? As long as you maintain integrity over the private keys, the government can't do anything with the data that they've got about the Bitcoins.
I'm really, really surprised that these big casinos and these big industries aren't adopting Bitcoin.
Right? Because it would be so much more secure and it would be cheaper than them dealing with all of this, all of the fraud that can happen with paper money. And they have to develop their little chip systems and everything, and even those can be frauded.
Yeah. You kind of got to wonder if these big casinos and corporations don't, the reason they're not adopting it is because they like that opportunity for fraud and for things to go wrong, because they might.
Why would they like that?
Because so many of these industries are subsidized and they're backed by government guns that they don't have to be honest and accountable.
Oh yeah, they're like, whoops, we lost some money. Hey Mr. Government, can we have some more? Like, yeah. yes you can, casino. We love you.
But it's good to know that despite all that, you know, we've got these honest individuals that have that spark of creativity and have that spark of, I don't know if I'd call it rebellion, but failure to bow down, to bend the knee to the state.
Yeah, I'd say he's the Rocky of the internet world. People like him, they've got the eye of the tiger. They will not be shut down. Go get them, Rock. Well, I hope Brian does an awesome job with his new company, swcpoker.eu. We're not, like, sponsored or anything or told to say that. I just mean he's got a lot of courage and creativity, and he's not going to be pushed around. We need more people like that in the world, doing whatever, following their dreams.
I agree. Worms.
All right, when we come back, thanks for the redemption, everybody. We're going to talk about what happens to your digital life after you die. And what are the major differences between kids who grew up in the 70s versus today? All that and more. Worms.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Meow, meow.
Meow.
Trot, Echo, Echo, November, Fiend. Yeah, welcome back. This is Derek J. Broadcasting from the Liberty Media capital of the world, we reconvene to warm your synapses this early morning with Chandler St. Pierre.
And where is that Liberty capital again?
Keene in the Shire. That's New Hampshire.
All right.
You know it, man. And I'm safe. I have not been contacted by the government in this last break. How about you, Chandler? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. No government contact. I ate some peanut butter and jelly.
Yummy. I ate some chocolate-covered strawberries. And now we're feeling good. So we're not going to talk about government in this segment. We're only going to talk about fun stuff, like what happens to your digital life after you die. Ooh, maybe. Yeah. And 10 differences between children who grew up in the 70s versus today.
Meow. See, this one I like because I'm old and you're young, so we can go back and forth. And
you're not that old.
In my day.
You're not that old. You know, I had a crush on you at Porkfest. So you're not like, aww, you're not in the age range where I wouldn't have a crush on you. And I'm not like, okay, those George Clooney chasers either. So,
oh, thank God.
You're still a young guy.
Well, that makes me feel better.
That said, tell us the difference between us.
I don't know. How old are you? Well, you're like
25.
Right?
I was born in 1989.
Wow. So I was born in 77. So this article is a little bit pushing it for me, but the idea is the same thing, right? I actually wrote, you know, I told you I write thoughts and prose and poetry from time to time. And one of the ones I wrote last week, I don't know if I put it online or not, but I was reminiscing about my childhood. And, you know, I talked about how we didn't have fancy computers or cell phones, smartphones, that sort of thing. I think one lucky kid when I was growing up had a Nintendo Entertainment System. And, you know, we all used to fight and try to, you know, win his favor so we could go over there and play Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers, which by today's gaming standards is archaic, but it's still awesome. So, yeah, I mean, life was different back then. And I, you know, you're right. I'm not that old. I'm only 37. But I do feel a sort of nostalgia for that. Talking about this article, it's on themindunleashed.org, and it's differences children who grew up in the 70s versus today. Number one is our entertainment was each other. We had no internet, cell phones, computers, or video games, which isn't entirely true. I think they had Pong in the 70s, you know, and Atari came out in the late 70s, because I had an Atari, I don't know if it was 2600, something like that. Yeah. Not only were our lives free of close proximity of electronic devices and their constant electromagnetic radiation, which the audience should look into, because there's something to be said about being constantly bombarded by electromagnetic radiation, But this allowed us to entertain ourselves through peer interaction and physical activity. You're talking about a dramatic decrease in the level of physical activity from just 40 to 50 years ago, and it's manifesting itself in obesity, insulin resistance, and precursors to diabetes in children as young as 10 years old. We didn't have these distractions taking us away from each other's presence, which allowed us to interact, manage, and entertain our emotional states with friends. Texting, Instagramming, and Facebooking has turned our children into a generation of mindless drones who can only interact when they're behind a keyboard, earpiece, speaker, headset, or anything else. It's just too scary. Now, I don't want to sound like a Luddite. I love my 16 computers I have in my home. I'm a tech guy.
16 computers? And, are you exaggerating, or do you really have 16?
I'm exaggerating. I believe I have 5 or 6.
But I guess like everything has a computer in it now. So like if you have a washer, a dryer, a refrigerator, and a microwave, I think you've pretty much got 16.
Well, actually, the appliances, I like the old stuff. I like to go with the archaic. I don't like all that smart stuff. I think we talked about smart TVs before and all that, but
like your dishwasher was invented by Thomas Edison.
I hope so. I really do. So yeah, I mean, the entertainment value, right? I can speak to this because, like I said, I have a lot of computers, access to the internet. I used to consume a lot of media because there's so much out there and it's so readily available, right? You got Netflix, you've got Hulu, torrents.
A lot
sites,
of life
everything.
Is like sit in front of a screen and be entertained. And I feel like children are being trained that way at a younger age now. Like, is it true that maybe it's just more entertaining? Like, because I remember when our entertainment was each other, that still applied to me. When kids would run around and, like, everyone plays tag. It's like, oh, you just hit some kid. It's like, tag, you're it. And then they have to go and chase you. But it's like, that was not very fun. I would much prefer to be playing Sonic the Hedgehog or something on a little Game Gear than be chasing people around who I don't even like.
That's awesome. That's a good reference. Well, you know, I guess it's all in balance and moderation, right? Because, you know, like I was talking about at the beginning of the last hour, winter, for example. You know, now this winter, I can speak to the fact that I pretty much play Diablo 3 and Fable Anniversary and...
What's that?
Yeah, you kids. Anyway, you know, I'll play a couple of games and just sit and do that, and I'll read and maybe watch a show on Netflix, and that's about it. You know, this whole getting outside thing is just not for me. But that's because my body reacts differently to colder temperatures. When I was a kid, I mean, we literally, this is no joke, I mean, you hear people say it a lot, but we were out from, you know, 7, 8 a.m. till sunset. You know, in the wintertime, it's shorter. You know, you're only out till like 4 or 5 o'clock. And, you know, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother growing up, and you know, I'd come in and she'd be like, here's your lunch, eat that, and you go back outside and you play. you know, there was no, I mean, my grandmother was sitting in front of the TV and doing her thing, but for us kids, you know, we went out. And sometimes, you know, I tended to be more of a loner. I didn't have a lot of friends and I was always the outside kind of guy. So, you know, I'd wander around the backyard and walk along the rock wall and, you know, use my imagination to entertain myself. I mean,
that's kind of like,
that
I, since you brought it up, that's kind of like point number two, too. You're like blending into that one, which is playing outside was normal, not prohibited. Like,
right.
Grandma was like, go outside. My dad used to have an expression, go and get the stink blown off you. He used to say that
like
all the time.
That.
Yeah, like, go, you know, you have to play around for long enough that you don't smell anymore. And, like, I don't even think I smelled as a kid. It was just some expression I'm sure his dad said. But, you know, playing outside was a thing. It's like, I don't care if you're out for hours. Just come back when the streetlights come on. I think that was the general rule, right?
That was the
general rule.
Just
go as far as you want. Just come back when the streetlights come on.
Well, I mean, I can remember times when we'd go, like, we had a guy on our road that was a grease monkey. This is another thing I wrote about too. And
does that mean he was a mechanic?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, he was my age, and we're talking like 10 years old. And this guy, he built a mini bike, which was awesome. And I was so clumsy as a kid, I could not. He put the mini bike on idle and tried to get it go up the hill, and I could not ride the thing. And he built go karts, you know, all kinds of cool stuff. And that's the other thing, like. Do you know the only people I see on bikes now are the adults that professionally bike with their spandex and their helmets. I was a kid, man.
Yeah, kids rode around on motorbikes.
Yeah, well, not only motorbikes. I mean, we had our Huffies and our BMX bikes. And
had
the pegs on the front and the back wheels. So, like, we'd have somebody sitting on the handlebars with their feet on the front pegs.
It was good and dangerous.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you could go outside and play, and you weren't expected to be nannied after. And yeah, you know, we did some foolish things. We got cuts and scrapes. I can remember bombing down the hill and falling and, you know, cutting my knee open pretty good.
Yeah, Mom,
and you're just
Jimmy
just like,
broke his head open. It's okay. You know, and, get back
and
out there
now. You know now. You know, kids do that, and it's like the end of the world. They get a scratch, and they're like, you know.
I don't know.
And they need...
Some of this is like a difference between rich and poor, too, because like rich people protect their kids a little more. And, like, I was from a poor family, so I would find a shopping cart on the side of the road in some back alley or something, and that was our entertainment for the evening until we got hurt. Like,
exactly.
You got hurt is the entertainment. That's the limit.
Well... That's funny you should bring that up, because I once rode a shopping cart down a steep hill across a busy street into a parking lot.
Oh, man.
It was interesting, to say the least. But, you know, in point number two in this article, playing outside was normal, not prohibited. They talk about how, you know, like you said, you stayed off till the lights were out, and you didn't need all these... additions,
yeah,
right? You didn't
need
iPads and iPods. And I love my iPod. We were talking about that in the break. I'm so depressed that my iPod crapped out on me.
And I just hit number four, too. I know we're sort of bouncing around, but total accessibility to children was not a need, and neither was the incessant nature of constantly hovering over their safety.
Well, yeah. There's always been dangers in the world. You know, you go back as far as you want, and there's always been dangers. But I think that this constant sheltering and incessant nanny, not just the nanny state, but just the nanny mentality in general that's been adopted by people has led to people not being as aware of their surroundings, not being as smart, as safe. They can't think on their feet as well as they used to.
Yeah, because like making mistakes helps you develop street smarts.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I can remember the old urban myth. I don't know if it was true. I'm assuming it was. But, you know, there was always an urban myth that there was a guy that drove around with a van, and you had to, like, if you saw that van, you know, you knew to stay away from that and stay with your friends. That was another big thing. You don't see that as much anymore. People are much more isolated. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need to get away from that a little bit.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Worms, 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 worms. Meow, 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 and worms and freedom. We're the fiends.
Fiending it up with Chandler St. Pierre, and we're talking about the difference between kids in the 70s versus meow. So go on with that, Chandler.
It's funny because I was talking to my kid the other day, and I said, you know, I think I was born in the wrong decade, because as much as I love technology, being able to do what we're doing right now, connecting over a great distance on a wonderful program called FiendPhone and broadcasting it over the internet and the radio.
Yeah, we haven't given a plug for FiendPhone yet. FiendPhone.com. That's Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
Worms. And by the way, the new version of FiendPhone is being worked on as we speak with the no government license.
So yeah,
it's going to be awesome. So anyway, I told her I think I was born in the wrong decade because things are so controlled now. Monitored, observed, the nanny state. We talked a little bit about how kids are so looked after and yada, yada, yada. And sometimes I wonder what it would have been like to be an adult in the late 60s, early 70s, and just kind of wander, you know, like hitchhike across the country with a backpack and a gun, a little bit of money, some food, and just live, you know, and be anonymous and experience things.
That might have been the last chance at real freedom.
I really think it was, you know. Technology has given us some degree of freedom, but I think it's been adopted in ways that are not always healthy.
Yeah, like that was a time, the 60s, if you were an adult, I feel like that's probably the last chance humanity had to really be anonymous. Like you could just change your identity and then just disappear and go different places, you know? Like
yeah.
That used to be a thing.
Yeah, a lot of people used to make a way of life of that.
You could even board a plane with a gun in the 60s. That's how different it was. And you could smoke cigarettes.
Imagine?
Yeah, I can't imagine. I have no idea what that's even like. Anyway.
Well, yeah.
Whatever. We're talking about kids.
Right, right. I don't want to get into guns.
Yeah, we do love guns, though. Do you have a gun right now?
There is one, two, three sitting within arm's reach of
me. I just feel safer knowing that.
Yeah.
Great.
So getting into number three on this list of 10 differences children who grew up in the 70s versus today have on themindunleashed.org says children were not labeled as ADHD, ADD, or hyperactive. They were just kids being kids. And I think that's a very, very important point to make.
Why?
I work in the mental health field, you know, both with people with developmental disabilities and mental illness. I've worked with kids in the past, and, you know, obviously having a child myself and being involved in that, I see how what I would consider kids being kids, and I'm not that old, but what I would consider that is now labeled as, you know, oppositional defiant disorder, adult or ADHD, ADD, or they're hyperactive, inattentive.
They need compliacin. Like,
yeah, they do, right? And a lot of times this is initiated through the schools, which there's a whole show in of itself. I mean, they want compliant little drones that'll just be good workers and all that, so they don't like that spark of creativity. But the article goes on to say that Children today are being medicated at alarming rates for what appears to be normal childhood behavior. Yes, there are some children with legitimate behavioral issues, but they are extreme minority, which is very true. Like I said, I work in the field, so I've seen both sides of it. None of the issues are solved by medication. The big problem is that we're diagnosing and labeling common temper outbursts and other disruptive behavior in millions of children as attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactive disorder. If you took a subset of three-year-old children from 1970 and transported them to our current timeline, you would see that not much has changed. However, the way we deal with them has. We are putting our kids on long-term stimulants as if it was candy. A nationwide CDC survey found that 11% of children from ages 4 years old to 17 have received this diagnosis of ADHD, and about 1 in 5 of them is boys. Imagine that. So, I don't know. It just seems like we should be dealing with our children in a different way. These things that we consider problems may not be, and if they are, let's approach them from a different manner.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Worms, worms, worms. This is Freedom Fiends. Yes, worms.
Ah, yes, worms. So, Chandler, bring us more worms.
All right, where did we leave off here? We were talking about drugging
ADHD,
kids.
Yeah, on all those kids who are just being kids.
Yeah. And I think the thing to take away from that is that, you know, we need to rethink. Oh, that sounded very collectivist.
We need to think like Chandler.
Yeah.
Or else you're wrong.
In my experience, it's been much more beneficial to rethink how you deal with the behaviors of children instead of immediately putting them on medication. You know, as a parent, I've gone through a few things with my child, and I was always, you know, I was approached by schools and doctors saying, hey, maybe you should prescribe this drug, maybe it will make your kid feel better, yada yada yada. I'm not going to go into details or anything, but I was always resistant to that sort of thing, and my kid turned out fine. In fact, she's really great, and she didn't need drugs.
Did doctors try and say that she needs drugs?
There were a few that made suggestions.
We're like, we think your child should have meth. I mean, what's it called? Ritalin? But it's all a stimulant, right?
Yeah, it's all legalized meth, you know?
It's an amphetamine.
It's the same thing.
And what's...
Well, as a side note, I took...
No. Ritalin is methylphenidate. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
with meth.
Yeah, it's got amphetamines or something. It's kind of like Adderall.
Adderall is an amphetamine.
And the other thing to consider is when you're giving these children drugs that they don't really need to manage their behavior, you're doing lifelong damage. You know, you're suppressing growth. You're exposing them to health conditions that they wouldn't otherwise be exposed to. And it may be very confusing to them. and it could have a lot of unintended consequences. So just rethink that. You know,
wait, I got one from the article. This is shocking. The youngest kindergarten kids are 60% more likely to be diagnosed with ADHD than the oldest in the same grade. So what does that tell you? The more rambunctious among them are going to be just medicated to be like everyone else. We just got to make this one even keel, right? Make everybody the same, and even if it takes drugging the kids, even if it takes drugging kindergartners.
I don't think that was a thing when I was growing up. I mean, I know it was out there, and it was on the rise, but I don't think it was a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to Catholic school from first grade to fifth grade. I got kicked out of Catholic school, actually. Don't tell that to Randy, though. But, I liked the religious aspect. I just didn't like the authoritarian aspect of the education model that Catholic schools employed. And I was very rebellious. And even then, as rebellious as I was, it was never suggested, at least not to my knowledge, that I'd be put on medication. So I guess I should consider myself fortunate. I'm sure nowadays it totally would be. But they had a different model for dealing with kids back then. I'm not saying it was better, but, it was definitely better than drugging kids, that's for sure. So, number four, total accessibility to children was not a need, and neither was it an incessant nature to constantly hover over their safety. We've kind of already skipped around to this.
Yeah, we already talked about that.
The nanny state mentality and how it, I will just reiterate that it, That incessant need to impose safety, it actually stunts a child's growth. It doesn't help them learn situational awareness. It doesn't help them build confidence. So give your kids a little independence. Teach them to think on their feet.
We already hit this one. I'm sorry.
Let them get hurt a little, you know, because they'll be better for it when they grow older.
Right. And that's what I was just about to say. We already hit this one, too. It was okay to get hurt, and we didn't call every person that hurt us a bully, number five.
Oh, my God, man. Yeah. I can speak to this one. So I was the weirdo outsider kid, and I got picked on all the time.
Why were you a weirdo? Do you have long hair when you were a kid?
I do. I started growing my hair out when I was 10, but actually, as a funny side, my dad's a hairdresser.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. And,
is he gay?
Yeah, he is. And and that was actually part of the reason I was picked on as a kid.
Oh, man.
Yeah, really lame stuff.
Like, your dad's gay. He's like, well, yeah, but he also cuts your family's hair.
Yeah, exactly.
So leave me alone.
So when I was, third or fourth grade, and keep in mind, Catholic school, Catholic upbringing, whatever.
Oh, yeah. How did that fly? Did your dad put you in that school?
Actually, he did.
I didn't ask. Okay.
Yeah, that's another story.
Weird.
But I didn't have long hair at that time, but I had the kind of weird skater's haircut, the long bangs on ones. And that was
Did you tie it in a ponytail? A skull cap?
Not yet, because it was before that, you know?
Okay.
So on Easter Sunday, I said, Dad, I want to dye my hair purple. And he did. And
he was like, son.
Yeah, and we went to church, and my grandmother was none too impressed. But,
oh, whatever. Your grandmother probably had purple hair, too. All those old ladies, they put a little bit of that blue in their white hair just to give it a little bit of color.
Yeah, it doesn't work well.
No.
So, yeah, but, getting back to that, I was picked on a lot, too, and you just deal with it. I mean, a few times I stood up and, punched a bully in the nose or whatever.
Whoa. But, keep your hands to yourself, Mr. St. Pierre.
Yeah, well, for the most part, it was just like, that's part of life. You know, there's going to be rude people out there. And, I reiterated this to my kid. My kid went through a pretty rough spell with what I guess we call bullies now. And, I told her there's always going to be those rude people that are going to try to bring you down. And they're going to say mean things, and they're probably going to do mean things sometimes. And sometimes you've just got to, I don't want to say deal with it because that sounds very insensitive. But really, you do have to deal with it.
I don't know. It's such a tough one. I was part of an anti-bullying group in my high school. And pretty much all we did was, we gave speeches to classrooms like, oh, don't bully each other, be nice, and, you know, treat other people how you want to be treated. But it all came down to, if you are getting picked on, you just need a safe place to hang out and, like, tell your story. That does more for a bully victim than any administrator going to that bully and being like, now you stop picking on Jimmy and Susie, okay? Or you're going to get
detention.
Oh, yeah,
that'll make things worse.
That does make things
worse. You know, another thing, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying about building that confidence and everything. When you don't have parents and school people doting over your every need and your constant safety, you tend to develop peer groups as kids, you know? And yeah. Those peer groups will help you stand up to this bullying. You know, it hit me on break. If you guys want to read a really good book, just in general, but that illustrates the differences we're talking about, I would really suggest reading Stephen King's It. Now, granted, it's a horror novel, but it's so much more than that. It's about the bond of friendship between children. And I think the children grew up in the late 50s, early 60s, so it's about the same thing. And it really illustrates these differences from kids today. It's a great book if you have some free time to check it out. So yeah,
Worms.
So number six, we've got The Sun Was Our Friend and We Weren't Terrified of Being Exposed Without Lathering Sunblock. Oh my god, is this one true? And I could speak to this, like, when I was probably 12, I guess, there's a quarry in my hometown, and it's awesome. You know, we got, you know,
what's a quarry?
Okay, a quarry. It was a granite quarry that was mined for granite.
You can't say what it is in the definition.
Okay, well, it is a big open space that they mine rocks, okay. Right? Like, I think Fred Flintstone. That's a quarry.
Oh, cool.
Where he worked.
Okay.
So the quarry hit a natural spring and filled up, and people have been swimming there ever since. It was actually in a magazine as one of the 10 greatest swim spots in the country. And you're not supposed to, and it's, I don't know, it's like kind of private, but kind of not. It's really weird. But when we were kids, they were much more lax about that. And I used to drive out there, ride out there every day on my 10-speed. It was about, 7 miles, 8 miles. And I'd ride out there. And I would literally spend all day out there, you know, climbing up the rocks, jumping off into the water, climbing up the rocks, jumping off the water, and just, you know, sitting out there all day. And I don't think I ever wore sunblock. I mean, maybe, like, when
we were now have skin cancer.
I guess, you know, whatever. I mean, when we went to the beach,
I'm just asking. I mean, do you? That's what they say, right? That's why we wear so much sunblock now. My family all has, like, skin cancer, so they're like, you better wear your sunblock. And that was a lesson that was drilled into me, definitely. So,
well, I mean, you. But the thing is, I may not have worn sunblock, but I wasn't stupid enough to stay out in the hot sun constantly. I mean, I would sit under trees.
Yeah.
I would shade myself like, you know, any rational thinking person has done for thousands of years when they're in hot climates. But we didn't, and this just goes back to the nanny state thing, you know, so we didn't have that. And I mean, when we were kids, like we said, you know, dawn till dusk, we were outside playing. I mean, we'd go in for lunch and you know, icicles and, or what do you call them, popsicles and, you know, cans of soda pop or whatever. But, yeah, we were outside mostly. So, number seven, there was no constant promotion for drugs and vaccines for every human symptom that existed. I don't know, man. I guess you can look at the statistics. I think, I'm pretty sure I got vaccines when I was a kid, but I know that we didn't get the super cocktails at like a year old or whatever. That's a whole different argument. I'm not a big fan of vaccines. I'll just say that. I think that there's a lot to be examined, especially where it comes to vaccines being a suspiciously large cause of the rise in autism and Asperger's syndrome in this country. But again, like I said, you can go out and kind of research that for yourself. There's a lot of opposing opinions on that.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, well, I've got a little bit on it, but so when we come back, we'll finish this up. We got three more.
Redemption.
Yes.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow, 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 meow.
Redemption.
We got three left, and I'm going to kind of quickly tie them all in together and wrap them up so we can do a little redemption in the third act. So number eight is, and I love this one, we played in the dirt and we wiped our hands and our faces with soap and water, not antibacterial nonsense. Yes. And number nine is, chemical toxicity in consumer products was still low compared to today. And number 10, there was no gluten-free, sugar-free, fat-free, dairy-free, GMO-free, etc. Okay, so I think that as a child, it is important to get around and roll around in the dirt. You know, get out there, expose yourself a little bit. I mean, you have to be health conscious, of course. But that's how you build your immune system, right? If you're constantly sterilizing everything you're surrounding yourself with from a very young age, you're going to not build up any natural immunities.
And you're going to make super germs.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing with like the over-prescription of antibiotics. Now we're seeing the rise of resistant bacteria. So, and yes, it is definitely true that because of corporate greed or whatever you want to call it, chemical toxicity in consumer products has risen. That's an unfortunate thing that we should be careful about, especially nowadays. And as far as the no gluten and the sugar-free and the fat-free, blah, 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 that wasn't as prevalent back then. I mean, you still had your hippie naturalist types, and I'm not dissing them by any stretch, that believed in a more holistic natural diet. But the thing is with these, you have to worry about the sugar stuff and the gluten and the GMO stuff even more so now, because children are less active. They are sitting in front of screens, whether at school or at home, much more. So they're not getting as much exercise and interaction out in the real world. So those factors weigh much more heavily upon them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm old, right?
Super worms.
And, yeah. So, I think it's, again, and I come back to this pretty much every show we do when we talk about stuff. I think you really need to find a healthy balance, right? You don't want to go from one extreme to the next because it makes you crazy. It makes it so that your mind and your body cannot function in sync and properly. So you always want to find that balance, you know, health-wise. I want to go out and have my cream horn like I did last night, you know?
What is that?
Dude, you've never had a cream horn?
I have no idea what that even is.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to send you a picture after the show. They're amazing. So, right, my kid was like, we were both sitting there watching Star Trek after supper, and she said, I want something sweet. And I was like, yeah, I kind of do too. It's kind of cold and snowy out. So I braved the elements and, you know, I went down and got a package of cream horns and we munched on those.
What are they?
They're
ice cream sandwiches?
No, they're pastries filled with whipped cream.
Yum. Or
not whipped cream, but a sugary cream. They're super
sweet.
That
sounds like a thing about where I come from in New Jersey. We got a cannoli.
Yeah, they're like the poor man's cannoli, basically.
All right, sweet.
And so, you know, we did that, and they're so unhealthy. But you know what? Whatever. You know, we spoil ourselves. Sometimes you got to do that stuff for your own mental well-being.
Yeah.
You can't always be like, you know, no GMO and no sugar and, you know, that's... And I try
to
live.
If you are, then those things better be buying you some fun in life because,
exactly.
You know, I think... Little cheats like having cannolis or cream horns or whatever is part of the fun in life.
Well, what's the point of living a long life? You know, you torture yourself with all this untasty, healthy stuff and these safe activities, and you live a long life. But if you don't have any fun, what's the point? You
know? Yeah.
So balance, people, balance. Lighten up, have a little fun. Take life seriously, but enjoy it.
Yeah. Stop using sunblock. Let your kids get dirty. Let them run around and...
Rolling around in the mud is a fun thing, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And enough with all that antibacterial stuff. What about soap? Well, I hope we've calmed the hamster in your brain tonight. Made you think a little bit about peace and freedom. Michael Dean will be back doing it again tomorrow. Until then... Worms.
Worms.